Tender Ray Beef, no other beef so fresh can be so tender, presents Hearts in Harmony, transcribed.
Ladies, I'm often reminded these days of a certain nursery rhyme. It happens every time I look into that big refrigerator of ours down at the Kroger store. From force of habit, I expect to see some wonderful Kroger Tender Ray Beef. And, of course, it isn't there. That's when I think of old Mother Hubbard. No, we can't supply you with all the plump, juicy, fresh, and tender Kroger Tender Ray steaks and roasts that you keep asking for. They're just not available because only top-quality grades of beef are used for Kroger Tender Ray. And that kind of beef, delicious and juicy and tender, is grain-fed. But grain is not being fed to cattle nowadays. Instead, most of our precious grain is being used to relieve human suffering. Millions of people all over the world are starving, and the saving of their lives depends upon how much and how fast we can send grain overseas. It's a race against time, and it will be won. Until victory is ours, and until the time when you once more can buy Kroger Tender Ray beef, let me say that Kroger will always provide you with beef whenever any is available. And it will always be the best that is available.
Well, thank you, sir. Thanks for stopping in. And now, Hearts in Harmony. After first not being able to see Penny, and then, after seeing her, not having the nerve to talk to her, Professor Stuart Rogers has at last decided to tell Penny what's on his mind. He is alone with her now in her living room and says,
"Before I tell you anything at all, Miss Gibbs, let me tell you this. I'm afraid you're in for a shock."
"A shock, Professor? Well, I think I can stand it."
"Yes, I suppose you can. But I thought it was only fair to warn you in advance. You've been through a lot these last few days, and I'd hate to think I was adding to your difficulties."
"I'm sure you're not."
"I hope not. Frankly, I want to tell you all this because, well, it might clear up matters for you. But what I have to say won't be pleasant."
"Well, you make this sound rather frightening."
"Well, to tell you the truth, Miss Gibbs, the reason I've been so hesitant is that I've been rather afraid of how you'll take what I have to say."
"Well, suppose you say it and let's see."
It's exactly what I'll have to do, I suppose. But I hope it won't come as too much of a shock to you. I feel very badly about our association up to now. I'd hope to improve it, make it a little more pleasant for both of us. But I'm afraid this will be the end of our even knowing each other."
"Well, what makes you think so, Professor?"
"I don't just think so, Miss Gibbs. I'm almost certain of it."
"I'm sure nothing you could tell me now would make our relationship any different. And please don't misunderstand. I think we've been rather good friends, almost since our first meeting. I found your attitude toward me rather refreshing, even though you may have meant to be nasty to me."
"I did mean to be nasty to you several times, Miss Gibbs, for two reasons. One, I frankly thought you were getting far too big an impression of your own importance. But secondly, and most important of all, I didn't want to like you, and I didn't want you to like me."
You didn't want me to like you?"
"No. And I thought it wise if I tried not to like you."
"Why?"
"Why? Because of the reason I came to Rossville."
"Well, you came to Rossville to teach at the university, didn't you?"
"Only partially, Miss Gibbs."
"Look, I don't understand. Aren't you a professor of biochemistry at the university?"
"Yes, I am."
"And a member of the Rossville school board?"
"Yes, I am, Miss Gibbs, a special member. And one of the newest."
"One of the newest? Well, why do you mention that?"
"Because of only being a recent member of the board, and in fact, not a long-time member of the faculty at the university is, well, all that explains why I've only partially been teaching school these last few months."
"Look, I don't see that that explains anything."
"It does, Miss Gibbs. But perhaps this will explain it better. I said I was a special member of the school board. I was. I was made a member of the school board after I visited Mayor Anderson and told him that I wanted to be a member."
"Oh, you told Mayor Anderson that you wanted to be on the board, and he put you right on."
Well, let me say I asked him to place me on the board and gave him reasons why I wanted to be on and why I thought it would be necessary for my work.
And why did you want to be on the board?
I warned you that you'd be in for a shock, Miss Gibbs. I asked to be made a member of the school board because I wanted to meet you.
You wanted to meet me?
Exactly.
But you were a member of the school board long before I was.
Only 2 weeks before you were, Miss Gibbs, and I went to Mayor Anderson with my request after I heard rumors in town that you were to be made a member.
You asked to be put on the board to meet me. Well, why? Why all the interest in me?
Oh, professional, Miss Gibbs, and following orders.
Orders?
Yes, Miss Gibbs. You were under suspicion of complicity in certain illicit dealings. But as you must know yourself, you were innocent. And you were out from under those suspicions several weeks ago.
Professor Rogers, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard such fantastic nonsense in all my life. What do you mean I was under suspicion? And if I were, who are you to trail me around as if you were a detective or something?
Miss Gibbs, forgive me for not telling you this before, but it was impossible to say a word, even to my best friend. You say I have no right to follow you around as if I were some sort of detective. Well, I am some sort of detective, Miss Gibbs. I'm a federal agent.
Oh, no.
My badge, Miss Gibbs. My credentials. It's safe for me to reveal my identity now. I just about had the man I was after.
You said you just about have the man you're after. I thought you said a moment ago you were after me.
No, only for complicity, Miss Gibbs. And we found no evidence against you anywhere. It was your fiancé, Steve Parker, I was after.
Steve?
Yes, Miss Gibbs. And my co-worker, Tobin, is pretty hot on his trail now.
What's Steve done that the government's looking for him?
I can't disclose the details, Miss Gibbs. But I hope for your sake that when we get to Parker, we find out that we're wrong. But we agents are seldom, if ever, wrong. Miss Gibbs, you'll help a lot if you know where Parker is and can tell me.
I don't know where he is.
All right, I won't press it.
Believe me, Professor, don't I call you Professor anymore?
Oh, I'm a legitimate professor, Miss Gibbs, and strictly a professor after the close of this case. I'm sure you don't know where Parker is, Miss Gibbs.
I most certainly don't.
I know that, Miss Gibbs. Remember when your stepfather's books were to be investigated by a federal agent?
Yes?
Well, that was a dummy investigation, Miss Gibbs. We had no interest in Jed Billings' books. But I was certain Parker would hear of it, and if he were guilty, would run at the mere thought of an investigation. Well, he ran all right.
I hope you're proud of yourself.
No, Miss Gibbs, I'm not proud at all. It hasn't been that tough a job, except as far as it's concerned you. Knowing you has made it a little more difficult, because I like you. And I knew what I was going to do would hurt you, and I didn't want to hurt you any more than were necessary.
Could you have thought of a more terrible thing to do to me?
Yes, Miss Gibbs, I could have, and I did. But I chose the way I thought would hurt you least. I could have pulled a stunt that made Parker run after you married him. I chose to make him run before the wedding. You hate me for what I did to Parker, don't you? Well, there's an outside chance. Maybe you'll thank me someday.
So that's the story, is it, Grace?
Yes, Jed. Penny just told me over the phone. I'm going over to see her.
Good. You want me to come along?
No, I think I better talk to her alone first.
Professor Rogers was a federal agent, huh?
Yes. And the federal agent he sent to your office to look at your books wasn't really looking for anything at all. It was just a trick, mm-hmm. Penny says, to make Parker show his hand by running.
And darn clever trick. But a sort of funny one. You'd think if the government wanted to nab him, they wouldn't give him a chance to run away.
Well, I don't think Professor Rogers would have wanted him to run under normal circumstances. Actually, I think he made Mr. Parker leave town so Penny couldn't marry him.
Oh, that's a nice thought, but I don't think Rogers is interested in who gets married and who doesn't. Not when he's working on a case.
You forget something, Jed. Professor Rogers may be a federal agent, but first of all, he's a human being.
We've got to be mighty grateful to this fellow Rogers. Why, Penny'd be married to Parker by now if Rogers hadn't done what he did and when he did it.
Oh, I know. I get cold chills when I think about it. If Professor Rogers had acted just 24 hours later, he'd be looking for Penny's husband.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jed, what an awful thought.
Yes, Grace, but it's just a thought, not a reality. Too bad Parker's in trouble. He's a nice fella, and I wish him a lot of luck. But I say if he had to get in trouble, let's be thankful and bless our lucky stars that he got caught before Penny was all entangled with him.
You always suspected something was wrong with Penny's marrying Mr. Parker, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Grace. And you did, too, a little.
Well...
But it was just a feeling, a sort of hunch that something wasn't quite right about it. I never guessed it would be as wrong as all this.
Shall I try to tell Penny it's the best thing that could have happened to her?
It is the best thing that's happened to her in a long time. But I don't think you'll get very far trying to tell her so. Young people who have loved and lost can never see how they gained anything by losing.
Penny, you mustn't take it this way, dear.
Oh, Mother, how am I supposed to take it? Am I supposed to laugh about it? It's a terrible thing. Steve's in trouble.
Yes, of course he is, but he was in trouble before, Penny. The only difference is you didn't know it till now.
I know.
Oh, I wish you'd try to see the good side of it, dear.
You mean you wish I'd say I'm lucky I didn't marry Steve?
Well, not lucky exactly. You can't love someone one day and then the next day, because that person's in trouble, stop loving him. But you should be glad that this all came out before the wedding, not after it. Later, when it's all over and things have been cleared up, then you can go ahead with your wedding plans.
With Steve in prison?
Why, maybe he won't go to prison. Maybe this whole thing will turn out to be a mistake.
No one seems to have much hope that Steve Parker is being falsely accused. Will he go to prison? Is he guilty? If he isn't, why did he run away? What will Penny do when Steve is finally found? Be sure to listen to the next dramatic episode of Hearts in Harmony.
Ladies, it was a long time ago that folks discovered Kroger Tenderay beef is always both fresh and tender, and so delicious. Nowadays, another discovery is being made. Now that our world-famous Kroger Tenderay steaks and roasts are so scarce, now that we're all searching for something else to give us fine meals, more and more people are discovering our amazingly wonderful selection of Kroger seafoods. For my part, I can say without hesitation that we have the finest flavored fish and seafoods you'll find in town. And you know why? Because our Kroger seafood with that fresh-caught flavor is rushed right to the store by Kroger's own special rush delivery system. All that speed and efficiency does this for you. It protects the flavor of Kroger seafood. The firm white flesh is preserved for your enjoyment. When you buy Kroger's selected seafood, your satisfaction is guaranteed. Get some real soon, won't you?